Tahi Purusho Bharam Shad Shirasa Gurum Udvahan Tamskandena Saadhate Tata Sarva Pratikriya Yatahi Purusho Bharam Shirasa Gurum Udvahan Tam Skandena Saadhate Tata Sarva Pratikriya Yatahi Purusho Bharam Shirasa Gurum Udvahan Tam Skandena Saadhate Tata Sarva Pratikriya Yatahi Purusho Bharam Shirasa Gurum Udvahan Tam skandena saadhate Tata sarva pratikriya Mothers Yatahi purusho bharam Shirasa gurum udvahan Tam skandhena saadhate Tata sarva pratikriya Yata As he certainly Purusha A man Bharam A burden Shirasa On the head Gurum, heavy, Udvahan, caring, Tam, that, Skandena, on the shoulder, sa hi adhate puts tata. Similarly, sarva all pratikriya counteractions. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. A man may carry a burden on his head, and when he feels it to be too heavy, he sometimes gives relief to his head by putting the burden on his shoulder. In this way, he tries to relieve himself of the burden. However, whatever process he devises to counteract the burden does nothing more than put the same burden from one place to another. Purport, this is a good description of an attempt to transfer a burden from one place to another. When one gets tired of keeping a burden on his head, he will place it on his shoulder. This does not mean that he has become freed from the strains of carrying the burden. Similarly, human society, in the name of civilization, is creating one kind of trouble to avoid another kind of trouble. In contemporary civilization, we see that there are many automobiles manufactured to carry us swiftly from one place to another. But at the same time, we have created other problems. We have to construct so many roads, and yet these roads are insufficient to cope with automobile congestion and traffic jams. There are also the problems of air pollution and fuel shortage. The conclusion is that the process we manufacture to counteract or minimize our distress do not actually put an end to our pains. It is all simply illusion. We simply place the burden from the head to the shoulder. The only real way we can minimize our problems is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give ourselves up to His protection. The Lord, being all-powerful, can make arrangements to mitigate our painful life and material existence. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agantamina indesha gananjana shalakaya chakshunamilitamina tasmai shri guruve namaha. Shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitamina bhutale swayam rupa kadama yam dadati swapadantikam vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhyarevacha patitanam pravanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadara, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Srila Narada Muni is continuing to explain the nature of the material world with the hope that the conditioned souls may break their attachment to it. That is the purpose of explaining the nature. Just like one should know the nature of fire, to know how it burns, etc. That way it doesn't stick his finger into it and get hurt. In the same way, if one knows the nature of the material world, then he will give up his pursuit of it. And that way he can focus on the actual goal of life. So that is the purpose of describing the pessimistic perspective of material life. Many times people will find fault with the devotees. Oh, why are you being so negative? You should be optimistic. You should be positive. I was at Northwestern University and I met a student and I was delineating the miseries of the material world. And he said, "You're the most negative monk I've ever met." I said, "I'm not negative. I'm very positive. There's birth, death, disease, and old age," and continue to explain the nature of the material world. There's an optimism and pessimism toward material life. And the optimism is one stops his foolish pursuit of material life and trying to enjoy the material world. But the enjoyment of the material world is like communism on paper. It works. Material life works, but only in the concocted speculations of the conditioned soul's mind. It doesn't actually work in practical experience. In practical experience, there's so much misery. As I'm often mentioning this verse, Shruti Sukha Mrigatushni Rupa. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying, where is the happiness? It is only in the mind of the conditioned soul after he hears about how he can enjoy. He's hearing either from the flowery words of the Vedas or the flowery words of the television shows and advertisements. And when he hears those flowery words, it creates an image of enjoyment in his mind. That's where he gets most of his enjoyment. But the actual experience in the material world is plagued with unlimited obstacles. An example that is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is if a person wants to grow like a seed in the garden, in the place where he's trying to grow the seed, in that place there is insect plague sometimes, other times there's excessive rain, other times there's drought, other times there's animals who eat all the foodstuffs. So although it's a good idea to grow the grain in that place, it is plagued with too many obstacles. He cannot be successful in his endeavor to grow the grain in that place. So he should foolishly stop trying to grow in that place and go to a better place where it's free from so many obstacles. In the same way, the material world is just like this. We're trying to grow the seeds of our enjoyment in this material world. But it's plagued with so many obstacles. Threefold miseries, birth, death, disease, and old age, you know, to sum it up. And that is the nature of the place. There's no relief from it. So this is the reality. And there's optimism in understanding this. And that in the same way as it is very nice, if I am looking for gold, I am looking for gold, but I am looking for gold in the wrong place, then that misconception that gold is in a place in which I am looking will keep all my energy in that place only, and I will never actually find the real gold. But if someone shall tell me gold is not in this place, that is not negative. That is a very nice thing. Oh, you are relieving me from my misconception. They say gold is not in this place, it is in that place. It is a very nice thing. So in the same way the devotees are saying happiness is not in this place, we're not saying there is no happiness. Happiness is not in this place. It is actually over here. That is a very nice thing. But because the conditioned soul is so adamant about enjoying the material world, because he's misled by appearances, the conditioned souls, we have a lot of faith in our senses, in our mind. So we get misled by appearances. If something appears to be nice, then we think it is nice. If something appears to be bad, we think it's bad. And we never question our senses. We never think that maybe I can be wrong. It's hard to actually have that realization about the four defects of the conditioned soul. We can all parrot it off in the class, but to actually get the realization that I am defective is a very hard realization to have, especially in our interactions with other Vaishnavas, other devotees of the Lord. Then as soon as we shall see them, we never question that my vision is wrong. We never question that I could be making a mistake. So similarly, when we see the material world, it looks like enjoyment. So many jivas look like they're enjoying. They're laughing, especially in Rajas Park. In the middle of the night, you can wake up, you see they're laughing, having good time in the middle of the street. You wake up 2 o'clock to go to the bathroom, so many jivas are outside. Many. And you think, this is very nice. They're laughing, they're having a great time. And so we get misled by appearances. Only for persons who will be having faith in the process of hearing from Guru and Krishna, from the Bhagavatam, they can hope to transcend the deception of appearance. Otherwise, we're being deceived all the time. We're thinking this is the nice thing in the material world. So then we hear from Guru, we hear from Bhagavatam, that it's not nice, it's all a joke. And the mundane mind of the conditioned soul, he thinks, why so negative? We should see the brighter side of things. You can either see the glass as half empty or half full. And you're only seeing it as half empty, but you should see it as half full. Then you'll have a better perspective on life. They say like that. But actually, for those who are interested in devotion to Krishna, there is a reason that the Bhagavatam keeps harping on the miseries of the material world. The idea is to give nourishment to the feature of pure devotion, anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma dinavritam. This is the definition of pure devotion. Anukulinena Krishna Nushilanam Bhaktir Uttamam. So in order to nourish the anyabhilashita shunyam aspect of a devotee's pure devotion, particularly sadhaka, because the anyabhilashita shunyam jnanam karmadya navritam particularly applies to sadhakas who are actually have many material desires in their heart. Anyabhilashita shunyam means material desire should become zero. But it cannot become zero if we're still having faith that we can gain something from the material energy. So therefore, the Bhagavatam, probably throughout the entire Bhagavatam, constantly, repeatedly, they're speaking about the miseries in the material existence that actually will give nourishment to the Anyabhilashita Shunyam conception of a sadhaka. And that nourishment of that conception will actually make our worship of Krishna, our bhajan of Krishna, anukuyena, favorable. Without being free from material desires, our bhajan is not really favorable towards Krishna. Our chanting will be full of duplicity, because we're actually wanting to enjoy this material world. So many will be chanting Hare Krishna, but they're having so much faith in the material world. As soon as Krishna shall test that, we may not always know how much faith we have in the material energy. So Krishna knows, certainly knows. So Krishna will send tests. He sends tests. Just like he pulled Arjuna's chariot in the center of the battlefield, he sends tests to help give perspective to the jiva on how much we're attached to the material world. And then we can see, as soon as there should be some difficulty, we take shelter of matter, either our money, our family members. The tendency is very strong. So our bhajan is actually not going to be favorable if that shelter-taking propensity is still invested somewhere in the material world. Then our chanting of Hare Krishna will be full of duplicity. It will never be accepted. It will be namaparad. You know, only namaparad will be coming out, because we're having full faith. Queen Kunti says the same thing. She says, Na eva arati abhidatumvai edamanamadapuman jamai shreya shuta shribir, that so long as the jiva is intoxicated by janma, you know, aristocratic birth, opulence, beauty, shri, education, shruta, scriptural education or otherwise, the tendency is to become intoxicated by those things, intoxicated by pride. I know so much, I'm so beautiful, I'm so powerful, I can control the material world. Then she said they may also chant Hare Krishna, but they will not be able to do so with feeling. That will not be possible. And Srila Prabhupada explains, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the perfection of the chanting, is the quality of feeling. How much we are feeling. Actually, when chanting Hare Krishna, we're supposed to be crying in order to really get Krishna's mercy. You know, how many of us are crying about the fact that we're not able to even cry? You know, at least we should come to that stage, that I'm so fallen that although I'm supposed to be, I can't even cry. So I'm crying about the fact that I can't cry. We should come to that stage. Because Queen Kunti says, it's a quality of feeling which we're chanting. It is not our ritualistic chanting of Hare Krishna that causes the descent of Krishna's mercy. It's when the devotee is crying out for Krishna, he really wants Krishna and doesn't want anything else. This is why Krishna keeps himself separated from the jivas. We are meant to have Krishna. That is the goal of life. We've heard that from the Vaishnavas. We're supposed to have Krishna. But Krishna is purposely keeping himself away from the jiva for the purpose of studying their hearts. Bhaktisiddhanta has told us this thing. For the purpose of studying their hearts, Krishna hides himself from the vision of his devotee, even though they're rendering so much nice devotional service. Examples of the gopis, first-class devotional service, can't get any higher than that. But Krishna purposely keeps himself hidden from them in order to see what is the actual condition of their heart, and also to allow us to see what is the actual condition of our heart. Because we're thinking, especially if we have a good day of sadhana, we're thinking, I'm very close to the threshold of pure devotion. Maybe a couple more steps, step, and then prema bhakti will be there. We're thinking, self-deception is very powerful in spiritual life. So Krishna, he wants to see, and he wants to give us opportunity to see also. So he keeps himself hidden from our vision in order that the pursuit of Krishna shall become genuine. If Krishna shall give himself very cheaply, this is Prabhupada's comment in the Krishna book, if he shall be so easily available, then we will take Krishna very cheaply. We would not care for Krishna also. Just like the Vaishnavas, we are so easily available, isn't it? As soon as I have some problem, I just walk up and talk to them. So easily available. Previously in the Bhagavatam, we hear how the sadhus are traveling around and they stay in one spot as long as it takes to milk a cow. That means you don't have much time to spend with them. Very quickly they'll come and then they'll be gone. Very quickly. That is how sadhus would move around. Now we think, oh, I have so much easy association. I mean, if some problems there, I'll just walk up to them. And otherwise I neglect them. I have nothing to do with them at all. As soon as there should be some problem, then I will discuss with them. I had one friend. I hadn't talked to him for like 2 years. And he was in some dilemma. So he called me. He Skyped. On Skype, he called me. So we were talking. For 2-3 days, we were talking. Then he was like, I'm really going to keep in touch with you. And then he didn't keep in touch with me. 2-3 weeks had passed. He didn't call again. Now that his problem has passed over. So like that, we take very cheaply the Sangha. So Krishna knows that mentality. So he on purpose is keeping himself hidden from our vision to see what type of feeling that we actually have. And we can see for ourselves we have no feeling for Krishna whatsoever. So Queen Kunti said like that, Na eva arhati abhidhatum vai. They may chant Hare Krishna also, but so long as they're having their shelter in the material world, they cannot do so with any feeling whatsoever. So therefore, the Bhagavatam understanding that, the sadhus and the gurus, they're understanding this, they speak about the miseries in the material world because that will nourish the anyabhilashita shunyam conception of the sadhaka, that my material desire should be zero. In order to make the material desire zero, he has to hear repeatedly about the miseries of the material world so that he will abandon his pursuit of matter. And when the anyabhilashita shunyam conception shall be fully erected in the heart of the conditioned jiva, at that time his chanting will become favorable. Anukul bhajan. Then it will be a favorable worship of Krishna. Because the anyabhilashita shunyam conception nourishes the anukunyena idea of pure devotion. It modifies it. This is told by our acharyas. That you may be doing something favorable for Krishna. You may be worshiping Krishna, worshiping Guru, but you also have material desires. Therefore, in order to differentiate pure devotion from mixed bhakti, mishra bhakti, so then Rupa Goswami added this anyabhilashita shunyam point to modify it. Modify it means to restrict the meaning of anukunyena. Because someone may be rendering favorable service to Krishna, but also having so many things they're doing in the material world also. So therefore, in order to differentiate pure devotion from mixed devotion, Rupa Goswami restricts the definition by adding anyabhilashita shunyam. So hearing about the material world attentively, not sleeping, then that will allow us to stop our pursuit of the material world in our heart. We may be chanting Hare Krishna in the temple thinking we're such nice sadhakas, but in our heart we're pursuing matter. As soon as the devotees shall, quote unquote, betray us, we shall be fooled by appearances, then immediately we'll go to Maya. Immediately. Sometimes it is seen, so many devotees, they look so nice, so fixed up in devotional service. Then all of a sudden, where'd they go? All of a sudden, disappearing. Because in the heart, pursuing matter. In the heart, pursuing matter. Only pretending to hear. Only pretending to be attentive. But in the heart, going for matter. So therefore, only if we shall attentively hear the message of the Bhagavatam and dismantle our material desires by such sharing, then our chanting will become, then it can really purify us. That chanting shall really purify. Otherwise, many years chanting and still same desires are there, not going away, not going away. Sex desire is a persistent one that will go on for some time. But other desires, we should see if they're actually getting eradicated. And to the degree that those material desires are getting eradicated, in the Bhagavatam it is described in chapter 2, then that way you'll develop taste for the topics of Krishna and for chanting Krishna's names. The reason we don't have taste for hearing and chanting now is because too many material desires in the heart. Because we see, as soon as we shall hear something for our sense gratification, we're very attentive, isn't it? So much attention comes when we hear about our sense gratification. No one ever spaces out when they hear about how they're going to enjoy sense gratification. Suppose someone, we prepare a birthday party for you. Immediately you become enlivened. Really? Wow, I wasn't expecting that. You know, what type of preparations are there? You know, immediately you want to know. You become immediately attentive. But as soon as we hear about Krishna, immediately we become tired. So this is how we can understand how many material desires we're having in our heart. You know, it will be tested by the quality of our hearing and chanting. That is always a test in Bhagavatam of how much we're advancing. In the Bhagavatam, the only test they usually give, three, how much you're developing taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and how much you're becoming virakti, free from attachment to matter. These are practical tests in Krishna consciousness. Now, someone may want to throw out the Jayananda example. He was working so hard for Krishna service, and then when Prabhupada was giving class, he would sleep in Prabhupada's class, and the devotees would go to wake Jayananda, and Prabhupada said, don't wake him. He's doing so much service for Krishna. You know, we immediately, the mind will throw out that example in our mind to pacify us from the fact that we're sleeping in the class and all these things. But to be real, in the Hare Krishna movement, who is working as hard as Jayananda right now? I mean, amongst us. Anyway, you can say for yourself. You know, no need to answer it open arena. But who is doing as much service as Jayananda Prabhu was doing? You know, in order to be satisfied with that example in your mind, who is doing so much intense service by the devotees in those times who really catalyzed the Hare Krishna movement? So this is always a test, how much we are able to hear and chant about Krishna. And if we're not able to do it with taste, Bhagavatam indicates the reason there is no ruchi is because the material desires have not been eradicated sufficiently. At least 75%, Prabhupada said, Nasha Prayeshu Abhijeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Prabhupada said this Nasha Prayeshu Abhijeshu means the anarthas. He said in the class on this verse, 75% of the anarthas should be eradicated. Then you come to the platform of Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, Naishtiki Bhakti, fixed devotion to Krishna. 75%. So we're not able to gain any taste. We have to understand there are many material desires are there. So that means I need to give more attention to these topics about the nature of the material world, contemplate them, try to understand how the matter is a useless thing. So then, if we do not understand, then as this verse is describing, we busy ourselves trying to remove the burden of the material world. And it will never be removed. That's what this verse is describing. This is describing the nature of the material world. You try to remove the burden. There's so many problems in material existence. Unlimited problems. And one day, so many problems are coming up, isn't it? So many problems are coming up. And we try to take shelter of material calculation to adjust the problem. And Narayana Muni said, that's just like taking the burden from here and moving it here. And you take the burden from here and you move it on the hip. And when that gets tired, you move it here and back on the head. But the nonsense, throw away the burden also. That is the real business. Not that you keep shifting the burden around. We have to throw away the burden. How is that possible? It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita how that is possible. Srila Prabhupada describes. 7:14. There are many conditioned souls have been trying to free themselves from the limitations. Stand up. Trying to free themselves from the limitations of the stringent laws of material nature since time immemorial. They've been trying to free themselves from the limitations of matter since time. And so therefore, they make automobiles. What is the purpose of an automobile? I don't like walking. So I want to free myself from that restriction of matter. I want to fly, but I'm not a bird. I cannot fly. So I want to free myself from that restriction of matter, so I create airplanes. I want to be able to speak prajalpa across distance. I'm very attracted to speaking, just like Srila Prabhupada was told one time, with this fax machine. I think it was a fax machine, it was like a fax machine or something. Maybe someone can remember. So they were transmitting letters from one place. Only two places in the Hare Krishna temple had it, like a couple of places. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, should we get some for all of our sinners? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, the devotees would simply gossip, you know, and then it just immediately, like an email. Prabhupada told like that, the devotees, they would simply gossip, you know. So he said, don't get for all the sinners, just keep these couple were there. Don't get for all the sinners, the devotees would simply gossip. And we see that as a fact. Now we don't have facts, but we have Facebook. Right? And all they do, gossiping with each other, Sampradaya son. Chakra, all they do is find fault with the devotees. They don't do anything better than that. Simply finding fault, chakra, what are the other websites? Dhanavad's a little bit better. They kind of restrict. Simply for finding fault with devotees. So in order to be having, to give freedom of expression to that desire to speak nonsense, so then they created telephones, cell phones. They give expression. So the whole attempt of the conditioned soul is to free himself from the restrictions placed on him by the laws, stringent laws of material nature. And to the degree he's able to do that, to that degree he feels himself advancing and he feels himself successful. When I am able to free myself from the restrictions of the material nature, I am becoming more powerful and more successful, isn't it? That's what the conditioned soul is thinking. So this verse is explaining, but that is not possible. And your attempt to do that, you're simply shifting the burden around. And not only shifting it, Prahlad Maharaj also makes the point, dukoshadam tadapi dukamatadiyaham. You actually, their remedy is more problematic than the original problem. They don't only shift it around, but they actually make it worse. So Prabhupada has given an example of automobiles, so much traffic jam problems Prabhupada is mentioning, fuel shortages there. But even other things which are not so easy to ascertain how they're problematic, like computers or iPhones and iBooks and all these things. A lot of these things have resources that can only be found in selected countries. They don't have, it's not like the resources are abundant, abundant in America, so they have to go nowhere else. They're actually only existing in a few countries, some of the resources that are needed for creating these computers, iBooks, and all these things. So what do? They have to go to other countries to get those resources. And I'm sure they don't ask the people, excuse me, we want to take all your resources so we can create computers for our sense gratification. Would that be okay with you? Oh, sure, come on in. You know, they're right. No. So they create war. So war is practically popping up, so much war. Gokulananda was sharing with me in South America, America's attack South America, because they have many abundant fresh water. So America is just going in there in the name of protecting against terrorism. They set up troops all around the fresh water. People cannot come together in the name of protection against terrorism. And the people are now suffering like anything. So this is going on. And why? Just so they can create objects to free themselves from the stringent laws of material nature. They only make the situation worse. Then by doing this, that country becomes inimical and envious, and then war is fully manifest and everyone will be destroyed. This is going on. So the attempt to become free by our puny intelligence is a foolish idea. That's what is being explained here. Don't waste your time trying to daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatiya. It's material, this divine energy in mind composed of three modes is very strong, insurmountable. You will not be able to overcome it with your puny intelligence. Conditioned souls think they are so clever, they're so smart, that they'll figure out how to solve all the problems in the material world by their tiny intelligence. But the fact of the matter is, the laws of nature are too subtle to actually counteract. Just like if you were fighting an enemy that's invisible, then how you will be successful? It'd be a very difficult thing. So the laws of nature are so subtle, you cannot see how they are working. So you don't see how one activity is actually going to cause a major reaction, you know, in the future. In the material world, the laws of nature are fructifying and forcing the hand of the jiva in the form of paruptic karmas, isn't it? When the paruptic karmas fructify, they force the hand of the jiva. The jiva is not making a free will choice. They're so proud of their free will. Ahankara vimudatma, karta hamiti manyate. Krishna is puffed up. Jiva is so puffed up. He thinks, I have so much of free will. He has no free will in the material world. Probably speaking, when karma fructifies in the material world, it forces the hand of the jiva. He's always serving his circumstances, isn't it? Srila Prabhupada told this. He's always a servant of his circumstance. He thinks, I am a free will. I have free will. He applies for college. He applies for 5 colleges, only 2 colleges goes in. Then he said, I freely choose this college. No, you didn't freely. You were serving the circumstance. They accepted you, so you're going to that college. That school did not accept you, so you cannot go there. So he's only imagining, I have so much of options. But actually, he's being forced. So then, because only those on the spiritual platform can give expression to their desires. They have freedom of expression. Just like, you know, we want our freedom to express ourselves, gay rights and all these things like that. We want freedom to express. But actually, only if you're on the spiritual platform do you have such freedom to express yourself. Those who are not on the spiritual platform, then when their karmas fructify upon their bodies and in their circumstances, their hand is forced in a certain direction. They have no freedom at all. This is mentioned in so many places. The karma fructifies. You get sick, then you have to go to the hospital. And so we're completely in bondage. So then the attempt to manipulate the material energy will never be successful because the laws of nature are too subtle. You cannot counteract them. No one can predict when his karma is going to fructify and force his hand in a particular way. No one can predict that. So rather than trying to burden ourselves you know, by moving the burden here and there, but not getting rid of the burden. And the advice is to get rid of the burden by surrendering to Krishna. We should surrender. Our business is not to fight with the modes of material nature, because Krishna has already said they're insurmountable. Our business is how to surrender progressively to Krishna. That should be the main focus of the jivas. That should be the main focus of the souls in this Hare Krishna movement. How am I going to perfect my chanting of Hare Krishna? The movement will have unlimited problems coming up, especially after the spiritual masters shall disappear from our vision. There will be many more problems that's going to pop up. And to try to worry ourselves how to solve all the problems of the neophyte devotees in our movement, ourselves are neophyte also, or how to make more and more and more rules and injunctions to restrict the conditioned souls in their various anarthas will never be successful. It will never be successful. If you have to keep increasing the rules, you know how big the rule book is going to be? Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Kalera Dosho Nidaya Raja, an ocean of faults. If you have to create a rule for every fault of even one conditioned soul, your book would be like massive. You would have to like lift it on your shoulder, another burden, yeah? Lifting it on your shoulder, shifting the this and that to the, it would be never be successful. The business is that we have to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, this is part of the prakshapatmika shakti of maya to keep us distracted from the actual pursuit of our life. You know, and to keep us busy. Oh, this thing is very important. This thing is very, oh, this problem has come up. That problem has come up. And in the meantime, our chanting is crap. Our taste for hearing is crap. And our life is passing by like this. It is not that these other services are not important. But we have to understand that the real primary service, especially in this age of Kali, is how to perfect our chanting of Hare Krishna. How many of us are concerned about that problem? You know, all these other problems are very important for us, so important for us. It's not that they shouldn't be important for us, but how many of us, in our heart of hearts, are concerned about the fact that my chanting is not very good? I have no taste for chanting. You know, I need to perfect my chanting, which is the actual, you know, focus of our sadhana. All the other services, as mentioned by our acharyas, are meant to assist us in the perfecting of our chanting of Hare Krishna. You know, Prabhupada said chant 16 good rounds. You know, at least 16 good rounds. But what is a good round? You know, did anyone ever consider what does that mean? What is a good round? It doesn't just mean I stayed up from all my japa somehow or other on one fine day. I didn't fall asleep during japa. That was 16 good rounds. 16 good rounds means pure chanting of Hare Krishna. That means anyabhilashita shunyam gyana karma dinavritam anukuyena krishna nushilanam bhakta uttama. That means that verse has been fully erected in the consciousness of the jiva. When he is chanting Hare Krishna with that conception is fully erected, then his chanting is called a good round. If he chants like that, it's good rounds. Therefore, to get that conception, you have to hear so much Sambandha Gyan and all these things. Shuddha Gyan, pure knowledge, you have to hear to get that. Otherwise, not chanting very good at all. 16 good rounds, at least 16 good rounds. Therefore, sometimes you may think of increasing. Now it's Chaturmasya, you know, and usually there was an increase in austerity, increase in service, like that. We may think of increasing. Just like sometimes it says, we say this thing, that three times a day you should remember the spiritual master, at least. So then, I always joke, actually you should try to remember him throughout the day, and that way you'll hopefully remember him three times throughout the day. How do we joke like that? Because if we have to remember only three times, definitely no times we'll remember. But if we try to remember him throughout the day, then it will come to around three times in the day you'll remember him three times. Because we're not so... So in the same way, you know, the Shastras do give indication, and the Acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada, is giving an indication for progressively increasing. You know, it's not that just the quality of chanting is important. The quantity is also important. Mahaprabhu wanted to see numerical strength also. Under guidance of Guru, this is the main thing also. You have to take guidance. You cannot do whatever you want. Under guidance of Guru, you increase quality. Just like sometimes people ask us, isn't it better to chant one round with quality than 16 rounds without any good quality? Many times we've been asked this question by people who are starting to get into chanting. I better chant one round with quality than 16 rounds without any quality at all. So I always used to ask them, why don't you chant 16 rounds with quality? Five rich chickens and one round with quality, chant 16 rounds of quality. Simple answer to that. But in order to do that, numerical strength is also given importance by all our acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, why, to a letter to Brahmananda, Srila Rupam Maharaj usually reads this on his holy name retreat on this 32-round day. He usually reads this thing. The letter to Brahmananda, where Brahmananda is saying 16 rounds, Prabhupada said, why only 16 rounds? Why not 16 million rounds? Like that Prabhupada says. But how many of us take that seriously? Anyway, we have in our novitiate state, we have to emphasize variety of services to nourish our chanting of Hare Krishna in the state of lack of taste for the chanting of Hare Krishna. But you know, Rupa Goswami has mentioned in Nectar of Instruction that because of the jaundice of ignorance, we are not having attraction for chanting Hare Krishna, etc. So how do you get rid of that jaundice state? By chanting itself. So sometimes it may be said, what will our more chanting do? Because we are not having taste. That's a fact. But Rupa Goswami is also told that's the cure to the disease also. You cannot give another suggestion. You know, even though we have no taste, there is no other suggestion that can be given. Srila Prabhupada says like that in the purport. So of course, in order to not engender any misgivings in anyone who may be hearing this and having doubts, you know, the operative principle is always under the guidance of a qualified devotee. In order to, because one can chant more and become so puffed up, thinking I'm a great Vaishnav. I am chanting 2 lakh of nam every day. Everyone should offer me respectful obeisances. Anyway, they will naturally do it just by seeing me. They will offer obeisances. Uttama Adhikari is so purified, others see. So like that, the jiva will get puffed up. Anytime he feels that he's doing anything great, then he becomes immediately very puffed up. So therefore, the guidance, the shelter of guru is always required. That is always the operative principle. But an increase in these things is the real problem that we're having. The real problem that we have is that I have no taste for chanting Hare Krishna. Durdaivam idrisami hajani, na anuraga. That is the real problem. All these other problems are practically superfluous. Guna pravaha etasmin, the material world resembles a constantly flowing river of the modes of nature. So although one wave comes, it seems very big deal. And then it's over, and then the next wave is coming. And then they say, oh, very big deal. Then the next wave is coming. And our whole life goes into trying to solve these waves of problems that are so temporary. And that way we become old and we die without having actually achieved the perfection of our life. You know, hoping against hope that Srila Prabhupada is very merciful. And therefore, even though I lack the seriousness, he will be all kind to me. That may be true. There's no doubt about it. That may be true. But we should not expect that the acharyas have appeared in this world given such elaborate science for us to evolve ourselves and to remain ever negligent in understanding that on the plea of getting the mercy of the acharyas. This is their mercy. They've shared the association of devotees who can explain the science to us. We can put forward our questions so we can evolve ourselves progressively. So we should not just throw that out on the plea of, we should not become a Christian movement. You know, Christian movement means nothing specified, no science at all. Simply, Jesus is very kind to me. Even though I do all nonsense, he is very kind to me, I shall be delivered. We should not become Christian movement and think like that. Rather, we have to see the instructions of the acharyas and abandon the, Prabhupada said, this chanting should go on. Rather than meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and then no solutions. Rather than that, this chanting should go on. Prabhupada said like that. This chanting should go on. I'll repeat it again. Rather than meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, then no solutions. There should be chanting. Prabhupada said like this. And that's not to totally dismiss the importance of these things, but we should always keep things, we should make a priority list. We should be given priority in our heart. We should be given priority in our heart. Although we may be having so many other services, which we should carry out responsibly also, you know, but we should be priority in our heart. That is our real problem. Prabhupada says the only real way we can minimize our problems is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and give ourselves up to His protection. Surrender in Kali Yuga means surrender to the holy name of Krishna. That means understanding the principles of Sharanagati and chanting Hare Krishna. And the more the better. The better for the world. Even one devotee chanting Hare Krishna, even japa, is so beneficial for the whole planet. It is inconceivable. So that would be my discussion for this. Does anyone want to add anything or say anything? Question anything? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a wonderful class this morning, Prabhu. I understand completely what you talked about when you said that you've run into people and they say, oh, what a negative monk you are. I've had that very exact expression thrown at me more than once. They said, how can you talk like this? You're being so negative. And I said, yes. Prabhupada said at times, sometimes the medicine must be bitter. We become sick, so we go to the doctor. Not all medicine tastes good. Sometimes you have to it's really a tapasya just to take the medicine, let alone going through whatever the malaise is that you have. Similarly, we have to just be right there at all times talking to people and showing them that, yes, this is a place of negativity. This is the spiritual, the material world is just a place of one misery after another. We see, for instance, this year is an election in America. And so, once again, every politician will be out there saying this thing, that thing, whatever the audience wants to hear. That's what they say. They have no intent, really, of delivering on anything. But yet you don't hear anybody saying to them, oh, you're being so negative. But yet when you try to speak spiritual matters to someone, they have this stereotypical image in their mind of what a sadhu is from Hollywood movies or TV shows. Oh, we're supposed to be so gentle and so kind. But sometimes the medicine must be bitter. Sometimes the medicine must be bitter. It's not that we're being negative. It's just that we're trying to cure them and ourselves of these anarthas that have built up within us over lifetimes. So let us all just always remember that we're not negative. We're just, as I said last week, we are the Vaishnavas. We are the holders of the truth. And that the truth is always powerful. The truth will always win out in the end. When Prabhupada, Mukunda Goswami told me the story of when Prabhupada initiated the first group of disciples in New York. They said, when they got their beads, they went, how many rounds are we supposed to do? Prabhupada said, my spiritual master said, whoever does less than 64 rounds a day should be considered most fallen. And Mukunda Maharaj told me, he says, we're calculating in our mind 64 rounds. Oh, that's 8 hours of chanting. We can't do that. We have jobs, Prabhupada. We have other things to do. Prabhupada came down. Finally, he came down to 16. He said, no, I can't go any lower than that. I will take the karma from my guru for this. You chant 16 rounds. I ask my friends, can you not devote 2 hours a day to supplicating yourself before the Lord and asking Him for mercy and forgiveness for all your shortcomings? We can find time for 2 hours to do all kinds of other things. We can go to the movies. We can watch TV. We can go out and play golf. We can go out this festival, that festival. But yet we still can't find time to give Krishna his due. So thank you again for a wonderful class. Haribo.
So you were talking about how our movement is very scientific. And one of the things that's never made a lot of sense to me, because you're picking up on this point of mercy. You know, we often hear we should take shelter of Krishna, and I really have no idea what that means. And I was just reading this morning in the third canto, when Brahma did that, then a boar came out of his nose and picked the earth out of the water. So obviously we can't expect miracles. But what does that mean, take shelter of Krishna? We're a scientific movement, so can you please explain what that means?
Chant Hare Krishna under the guidance of Guru. That's it.
Prabhu, I was just wondering if you could share perhaps a few passages from the Bhagavatam which are specifically delineating the miseries of the material existence. I was just appreciating how much the conception of our faith, where our faith is. We still have so much faith in the material world, and that happiness is there. So hearing these messages and particular sections that break that faith are very purifying. Can you recommend any other sections?
Well, one of my favorites is in 11th canto, 10th chapter. I think it's called The Nature of Fruitive Activity. And the first, I think it starts from verse 17 to verse 20-something. That's a section. The behavior of a perfect person in the 7th canto, which is the Prahlada Maharaj speaking to an avadut Brahmin who's taking out the vow of a serpent. He's just living on the ground like a serpent. He speaks very nice things, delineating the miseries of the material existence. And also, generally speaking, many of the prayers in the Bhagavatam, there's a whole section devoted to delineating the nature of the material existence. So if you were to read that, then you can gain much insight. So in your study of the Bhagavatam especially, you just have to pay attention. Narada Muni's teachings in the chapter 13 to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he very nicely explains the nature of the material existence. So there are so many sections. The entirety of the Bhagavatam, I'm telling you, the whole Bhagavatam is going through it repeatedly because it's trying to, drill test. They want to drill it into the mind, the conditioned souls. But that, I particularly, that section from the 10th chapter of the 11th canto, I like very much. Because it's just like, it's about 4 or 5 points that it easily dismisses the whole material existence, if you can understand here. It easily dismisses the whole material existence. You want to just say something, Vishnu Jan Prabhu?
Also, on the topic of the negative and the positive method, as you, I'm sure you know, Prabhu Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he also said that in Kali Yuga, between the positive method of preaching and the negative method, the negative is more effective, yes.
Yeah. He even says in Rani Kashipu was, you know, the more profound preaching in that sense for the giving attention to the personality of God than Prahlada Maharaj. I read that. It's a nice essay. Hard to understand. Someone else wanted to say something? No?
How do we understand what's favorable and unfavorable for hearing and chanting when you can't assess how the material energy is going to work?
How you accept what is favorable and unfavorable?
Yeah, like dealing with the externals of things, with the body and all these different factors.
Can you give an example? Because I don't want to say, because you think weird things, so I need to be like clear before I say what I'm thinking. Can you give an example?
So for example, how much one sleeps, for instance,
or 6 hours.
Minimum 6 hours.
It's minimum 6 hours.
And then also, you know, we're not supposed to, it's confusing because taking a burden from one place to another, I've been trying to eat a little bit more simply. And I find that my mind will be good, but then later on it'll be more troublesome. And, you know, this is because of my defective calculations. So how does one go about trying to keep the mind peaceful and trying to chant Hare Krishna without offenses?
By being simple. By being simple. That is the topmost assistant in Krishna consciousness, simplicity, which Prabhupada always defined as freedom from duplicity. So if you're sitting in the line and some halava comes, and it's your favorite type of halava also, you know, pineapple, cherry, or whatever, you know, some whatever, just concocting something. And they put a little bit on there, and then it was like, wow, it just melted in your mouth, and it was really fantastic. So when they go around for a second time, and you know you want that halava, but you don't want the devotees to think that you are a glutton, you know, that you're just eating excessively. So then he comes around, he obviously, no, I don't want it. But in your heart, you totally want that halava. Like I said, an example yesterday also, or the other day. And then in the nighttime show come, you'll run downstairs, either with your body or with your mind, and taste that halava. So better you get the halava right now, and don't be simple. I like this halava. This is abundantly available right now. Let me take more halava. What is the big deal? And then if it shall become too excessive, and you feel that's a problem, then you can go to some guru or some guy, mentor, however, and tell. And they'll say, okay, just restrict it to this much. Don't eat so much of halava. But be simple-minded. When the guru is giving discussion, there's some dull-headed persons in the audience also, and there's some very smart persons in the audience also. Both are there. Then, so when the guru speaks, he asks, did everyone understand? Now, the dull-headed person definitely didn't understand because he's dull-headed. He didn't get it. So, but he doesn't want to be pointed out as dull-headed in the assembly of Vaishnavas. So he also shakes his head, yes, I have understood. That is duplicity. That's crookedness. He should be simple. Raise his hand and say, I didn't get it. And everyone will maybe turn around and look at, how do you not get that? It was such a simple point. But he is simple. He said, I didn't get it. Then he shall get the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu will deliver any fallen person. He is Patita Pavana, Kali Yuga Pavana, but he will not agree to deliver a crooked person. Someone who is crooked, he will not deliver them. Just like Ram Das Vishwas, I think his name was, he was always chanting the name of Ram, Ram, Ram. Everyone thought he was a great Ram Bhakta. He was a Mayavadi. And he was Pratibimba Abbas, Namabas, he was chanting Ram, 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 Ram. Pratibimba Namabas means when you have some crooked desires, like the desire for bhukti or mukti in your heart, and you're chanting Hare Krishna, very fixed throughout the 24-hour period chanting the name of Ram. So everyone thought, wow, what a great Ram Bhakta he is. So he went one time with Raghunath Bhatt to go see Mahaprabhu. I think Raghunath Bhatt. And then when Raghunath Bhatt, Mahaprabhu so much embraced him very nicely, was caring for him, he didn't even look at Ram Das Vishwas. He didn't even look at him. So he was getting bewildered. Why Mahaprabhu was not even looking at me? For a few days it went on like this. Finally he was getting very despondent. He wasn't getting the darshan of the Lord, getting his mercy. And Mahaprabhu told him, you know, give up your desire to be Lord Ram. You know, just because he's Antaryami, he knows everything. So yeah, give up your desire to be Lord Ram. He gave him a little bit of mercy. Give up your desire to be Lord Ram. Then you'll be okay. You know, okay fellow. So that crookedness Mahaprabhu will not accept. If you are a very sinful person, you do illicit sex, all these, now this is not encouragement for people to go out and do illicit activities. But even if you're doing those things, but you honestly are doing, honestly means you're not trying to hide it and coming before the assembly of Vaishnavas, I am a great bhakta, greatly fixed up, Hare Krishna, and having illicit sex or something. You know, I'm falling, I'm doing all these things actually, then he can be delivered. Also because he's simple. He's not hiding the fact. Like Dhruva Maharaj, she didn't hide the fact that he was a great materialistic person. He told Narada Muni, this is very nice instruction, doesn't touch my heart. I want that kingdom. And because of that simplicity, childlike simplicity, he got the mercy of Narada Muni. But we shall be cricky like this. Oh, I want more halava, but oh, I don't want the devotees to see. I'm not going to walk during the japa period because I don't want people to know I don't have any taste for chanting Hare Krishna. You know, sometimes someone will force themselves not to walk. Struggling like anything, you know. No, get up and walk. Someone is sleeping in the class. And then they don't want to look like they don't have any taste and for the hearing. So they just sit there. You know, very disrespectful to a speaker, actually, in one sense. We should feel that. Of course, sometimes we cannot help. We are tired. You know, we go to sleep. Like, in our temple, we always, it's impossible to go to sleep before 10 o'clock, I think. I don't think it's, like, possible because the kitchen table, we think kitchen table is lasting until 5 in the morning, you know. This morning, I slept whole morning, to be honest with you. I was feeling so sick this morning because the whole time these men were here, I was hardly sleeping at all. I had so many things to keep them. Just to think about how to keep them engaged will break your sleep. Just thinking about how they're going to be engaged the next day. Are they going to act right, you know? Breaks the sleep, you know? Hardly sleeping at all. I was sleeping whole morning this morning. I was so tired. I felt very sick this morning. So sometimes it's occasional. But, you know, we don't have any taste. Stand up and hear the class. Don't pretend. Don't be crooked. So if we can, you know, this simplicity is very important. That's going to be the heart. For most of us, that will probably be our hardest struggle, is becoming more simple. That simple person will get the mercy. He wants more halva, he just psh, psh, psh. And all the devotees will be like, looking at him, he'll be happily eating. And they'll be finding fault with him going down. And he'll be nicely having halva. And then later on, Guru will tell him, this is nonsense. He's like, just like we heard the story from Nityananda Prabhu of the disciple. He would go out begging Madhukari, you know, Madhukari begging for the guru. He came back, and he was looking so healthy. So the guru said, all day you're begging and fasting. Oh, I'm not fasting. First I eat, and then I deliver the things to you. So the guru said, that's nonsense. You have to bring it to me first. So I said, okay. So he brought it to him first. Next day, again looking so healthy. Guru said, why are you looking so healthy? He said, I brought the things back to you, and then I went out again second time. And collected for myself, then I ate. Guru said, that's nonsense, you don't do that either. You bring it to me, don't go out again and collect. So again, the disciple come back, again looking healthy. The guru asks, why are you looking so healthy? He said, I collected for you, and I took some milk from the cow, directly from the udders of the cow, and so that I will have energy, and then I brought everything to you. So the guru said, you don't do that either, this is nonsense. Again, he comes back, again looking so healthy. Guru said, what happened? He said, I didn't take from the calves. The milk from the calves, I let them drink, but the foam that was coming out of their mouths, I was taking that, and by that I was maintaining myself. Guru said, don't do that either. You know? So in this way it was going on. And finally one time he falls into a well, and the guru chastised him, you should not take anything without my permission, you know, like that. Very heavy. So one time he fell into a well because he took something and he became blind. So he fell into one well. So the Ashwini Kumaras, demigods, they came to him and said, you take this medicine. And you can see. He said, but my guru did not give me permission to do that. They said, but even your guru, this happened to your guru also. He has also taken this medicine to see. He said, that is okay, my guru can do. But because my guru did not give me that permission, then I cannot do that. So he got the point. Anyway, there's a beautiful purport by Bhaktisiddhanta for this story. I'll have to read it to you because I'm not telling it exactly perfectly well. Beautiful purport just speaking about the surrender of a disciple in this story. Anyway, the point I'm bringing out here is that he was simple. He wasn't crooked. He just told point blank what he was doing so the guru could correct him. You know, if we are always trying to hide ourselves before guru, you know, when the Guru Maharaj comes, everyone shows up, pukka, looking so first class Vaishnav, isn't it? They come looking very first class. And then when guru goes away, then back to normal, full of duplicity. That's so duplicitous. Better you come and the same nonsense you anyway do, you do when the guru is here also. Then he can correct you. Then you can get the mercy because you're simple. You're not trying to hide that you're nonsense. In our temple, when we were living in ashram, so many devious things were going on and no one would come to Mangalarti time. When Sridhar Mahamupada Maharaj would come, because he's GBC, everyone would be in the Mangalarti time early. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, walking back and forth. I was like, so much duplicity. They would never, and then when Maharaj would leave, he would stay for a few days. There would be pukka, everyone would be pukka. Then when Maharaj would leave, Mangalarti empty again. No one would show up. So that way you actually prevent mercy from coming. Persons who are crooked can never benefit from the process of hearing. Just like when a person is sleeping, you easily wake them up with some sound vibration, easily. But if someone is pretending to sleep, even if you put the alarm clock in his ear and turn the volume all the way up, he doesn't wake up because he's pretending to sleep. He's not actually sleeping, he's pretending to sleep. In the same way, for those who are ignorant, very easily the sound vibration of Bhagavatam awakens them to Krishna consciousness. Very easy. But for those who maintain crookedness in their heart, duplicity, then no amount of hearing will help them. So you'll see, many times we'll go on years and years hearing Bhagavatam, but we don't make any progress at all because of duplicity is there in the heart. We're so duplicitous. That's a fact. And the more you think about this topic, the more you'll see how heavy it is. You know, I mean, I've been thinking about it a lot. I have intervals because I can't think about it for long periods of time because it gets heavy. And you see how much duplicity is going on. So much showing respect for the Vaishnavas, but in the heart, don't like them at all. This is going on. So then we cannot get the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So be simple, you know. If I need 8 hours of sleep, take my 8 hours of sleep. Go to sleep at 8 o'clock. Don't wait until 10 o'clock to go to sleep. Wake up at 3 o'clock and then be suffering. If the body shows me too much struggling, it will obfuscate the mind's ability to do anything. Because you're suffering, actually. The mind will not be able to focus. You'll not be able to chant Hare Krishna. Simply making Hare Krishna, but the mind will be causing too much difficulty. Therefore, Prabhupada always used to end his letters, I hope this meets you in good health. Because he knows for sadhakas, that is a very important factor. So he said three things, good health, first health, then sadhana, then service. You know, for example, because of the examples that you are giving. Don't be a crooked person, be a simple person. I need 8 hours of sleep, take 8 hours of sleep. Like Drew, he told that one time, I need 8 hours of sleep, so he goes to sleep early. Now only he's starting to have to become more austere because the ashram situation is such. And simplicity is the key to progressing. It's not like I have a realization that this is what I've been hearing for the last 2 weeks or so. So that's what I'm sharing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.